This is Jill Carter, Representative Senator from the 32nd District in Southwest Missouri, here with a couple of guests, Jocko Bowens. And if you haven't heard about him, you need to do a quick search on Instagram and Facebook. Are you on Facebook or is it just Instagram?
Yeah, yes. Yes.
I know, it's a double-edged sword.
The team does it, but Instagram mainly is what we utilize for the work. But yes, Facebook and in the ministry accounts as well, right? My personal accounts. And so all our accounts are used for this single purpose. You know, I always joke and say I don't post about eating and going on vacation. It's all about combating trafficking. So
All about kids.
Yeah, right? All about kids.
And then also Jody Grace is here with us. You wanna
say hello?
Yeah. So we have the pleasure of having you and your team here today. Can you just briefly, I know time's running a little short, but I just wanted to be able to send this out to talk about your mission, what it is that you guys are doing. We wanted you so badly to be able to come to Missouri to be able to speak on some of these issues. This is something that's near and dear to my heart. I'm as a mom of five kids. I mean, you rile me up faster than anything when you start talking about the threats to our kids and to our families. And so just thank you for the work you're doing. But could you speak a little bit to the work that you are doing and what's happening nationally and what we can do in Missouri to combat what's going on?
Yeah, no, thanks, Senator. Thanks for your heart. Thanks for your fight. Thanks for being first a mom of five, a daughter of God, a woman of God, someone who stands in the legislature and walks a line, you know, and I think we need so much more of that. And it has to be modeled. That's why Christ had to come. He had to come model a walk. And so for us, Jocko Bowens Ministries, helpjbm.org is the platform. We combat human trafficking with a particular focus on child exploitation and all the things that feed into child exploitation. And people think it's just the obvious, you know, but maybe something I didn't say this morning to some of the other legislators that I want to say to you is, remember, trafficking is the exploitation of vulnerabilities. Mm-hmm. And so let's ask ourselves real quick, well, how many kids do we think in this country is vulnerable? Different conversation.
Yeah.
The conversation just shifted.
So how do we shift
people's... 55 million to our account, children, K through 12 in this country that we deem vulnerable. Mm-hmm. So predators look for vulnerable children. It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And it doesn't matter whether your vulnerability is love, is food and shelter, which is the lowest common denominator. That's typically Central Africa. Their highest vulnerability is food and shelter, right? Mm-hmm. Safety. Or all the way up to love and belonging in an affluent community where the girl has two parents, both doctors. This is a real case, two parents, both doctors, and she's trafficked from within her home because she's got a broken heart and a desperate need to be seen. And she's not the star athlete and her sister is, and she's not getting attention and she's showing a vulnerability, which is love and belonging. See me. And the predator to one says, I'll give you food and shelter to harm you. To the other, he says, I'll see you.
So what does that look like when you're talking about trafficking, but she's in her home? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a concept I don't think that most people outside of this building, I mean.
Yeah, look, when something's this prolific, right? And I think people are starting to go, okay, maybe this is real. Maybe it is as prolific. Well, it is. It is, right? If it's this prolific, it means it's allowed to happen, and it means it happens in the common marketplace. It's everywhere. It's not just in those three city blocks. You know, this is not the movie Hustle and Flow with the you know, pimp and the Cadillac and the mink coat and the gold tooth. This is now in the neighborhood. So here's a statistic for you. 25 to 47% of all trafficking, domestic trafficking. So let's not talk about the border for a minute. American children being forced, coerced to perform sexual acts against their will, okay? And I would argue it's all against a child's will because a child is a child. So 25 to 47% is at the hands of the caregiver, which means it's someone who already has trust with a child. They already know the child. The child already sees them as an authority figure. So your state, Missouri, is 31%.
Wow.
So think about what I'm saying. We're talking about the fight is so close that it's in the home or it's the coach mm-hmm. or the teacher.
A trusted adult.
Right.
It's the individual because the first thing a predator does online is they have to break barriers, right? They have to break down the defense mechanism. And they do that normally over a 9-month period. Break down defenses, then earn trust, right? Then display love, then usurp authority and safety. I'm your safety net. I'll never leave you. I'll be there for you when your father doesn't show up, et cetera, right? And then they either compromise themselves or they make the child compromise, right? So when the trust is already there, it's already the coach, they're already starry-eyed, I want to make the team, or teacher, or a parent. So the most egregious form would be the parent, because that's incredible trust, right? It's not just trust, but you get your food from me. You get your shelter from me. You are on the street without me. I mean, that's mass manipulation. So the most egregious form would be parents. And then within the 45 to 47%, within that subset, right, of what we call familial trafficking, right? The largest demographic doing it is actually the mom, the biological mom.
So I was going to that was a statistic I had read, or we had talked about this a couple of weeks, months ago, Joan, when we were talking about this, that 50%, was it as high as 50%?
It's high.
Yeah.
It's really high. Yeah.
Of women. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with our culture and society where, you know, you have those mama bears like myself that,
I mean,
to have 50% of them willing to
So what is, remember, hurt people.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're talking about, and look, we're not in a battle of flesh and blood. We're in a spiritual battle, mm-hmm. right? And powers and principalities. So yes. We have to understand that sex is powerful. God created sex to really be a bonding agent. He says, you will leave the house of your father and your mother. You'll cling to this woman, become one, right? Sex is powerful. Sex is actually a mechanism or intimacy, right? Between a husband and a wife to drive evil out of the home.
To bond them, yeah. Yeah,
it's actually a weapon to keep a marriage healthy and safe, right? So if Satan can take that, right, and turn it for evil, it's the most destructive weapon on earth is sex when it is misappropriated outside of a monogamous, God-honoring marriage, right? Man and woman, husband, wife, in marriage, in covenant, right? It's powerful. Anything outside of that, it is the most destructive force on earth because it's the only drug on earth that's internal. There's not another drug on earth that's internal. If a guy's a cocaine addict, I separate him from cocaine. I put him in a padded room. He goes through detox. He sobers up. Guaranteed. Not going to be pretty, but he sobers up. Okay? You can't remove sex from, you're a sexual being. It's in your wiring system. It's in your neurons. It's in your thyroid. It's literally in your hormones. It's what puberty is all about. It's an activation of procreating, be fruitful, multiply, etc. So when you corrupt through a drug that's internal, there's no separation ever. Cannot separate.
Well, the corruption I feel like is starting to come through the mind, right? Like we're desensitizing our children. They're thinking, you were speaking to this a little bit earlier, that it becomes so normal for them that they don't know what normal is because we are subjecting our kids to this kind of stuff at an earlier and earlier in age. And something that I would have never have seen as being normal now is just so normalized and mainstream that what is normal?
Oh my gosh. It's changed so much. You know, when we think about when we were children, even in the last 10 years, really, the things that our kids are seeing everywhere on advertisements, on even in the cartoons, you know, even the cartoons that we thought at one point were safe, I don't feel like they're safe anymore. There's just this over-sexualization of our kids from the very, very beginning, even in the little preschool cartoons that they watch. And then not just, that's not even, you know, as they go into school, and we're talking about, you know, here in Missouri, health education policy and what's happening with our schools. You know, with comprehensive sex education that starts so very young.
The new health standards that we passed.
The new health standards that we passed that, you know, we're trying to curtail and make sure that our kids are protected. It's really overwhelming.
It's a behemoth. Mm-hmm. So speak a little bit to the legislation that you've proposed in other states and we're trying to push here as well. Can you just kind of educate people a little bit?
Yeah, look,
that?
Children are vulnerable. They need to be protected. You know, there's a reason Jesus... And people go, Yaki, you always talk about Jesus. Look, this nation's falling because it doesn't have a plumb line. And you can't find a builder out there a non-believer builder that will not build with a plumb line. You build, this is basic principles. It's undeniable.
I say this all the time. There is no moral neutrality in the public square.
No.
There is none.
No, the principles work, and they're biblical principles, right. Farming principles around the world. This is, I mean, Jesus talked about farming more than hardly anything else. So some of the bill, we have a responsibility. There's reason Jesus, and if you've never done it, I recommend you do it. It's quite a trek, but you walk from the Sea of Galilee, 30 kilometers. Let's call it 12 or so miles, right? Give or take. You walk 12 miles to Caesarea Philippi. When you arrive at Caesarea Philippi, this is also where Jesus asks, who do they say I am? And we quote that scripture a lot. But when you're at Caesarea Philippi, you stand and you look at a cave. That cave is in the temple of Pan, which is where the word pansexual comes from. It's in the Garden of Zeus, okay, today. That cave, Jesus called the gates of hell. So he stood in front of that cave, and what people need to understand is when Jesus went there with the disciples in real time, they were sacrificing children. They were sexualizing, raping, sacrificing children in front of Jesus and the disciples in that cave. And he stood in front of the disciples and he said, these gates of hell will not prevail against my kingdom. So he saw it fit to show the disciples evil that is unspeakable. The gnashing of teeth, the sacrifice of children and women, right? To say, do you see this? And then later he says, rather you put a millstone around your neck, cast yourself in the ocean, then lead one of these astray. We're not even talking about raping a child, to just lead him astray. We're leading kids astray in this country. When you start saying to a child, you can pick your gender at 3.
Right.
You can have a gender mutilating surgery and double mastectomy at 12. And you get states like Texas leading those surgeries.
Yes.
Most red blood conservative states. You have a result then in things like, hey, now we need to go write policy to protect children because you, who've been placed in stewardship, right, called adults, have abandoned them and you will answer. And hell is hot. Yeah. And it's in you can only escape it by one way, and that's seeing Jesus as your Messiah and your Savior, and he's the only way to God. And so now we write bills such as House Bill 3702 in Oklahoma, first bill of its kind. It was a pioneer bill in this nation. God literally wrote it. I would just happen to be a pensman that morning. But that bill was to bring serious consequence to the sexualization of children in the classroom. And it's a digital bill, and it's physical curriculum, digital curriculum, holding the authors of curriculum accountable. If an individual teacher walks into math class and throws down a word problem about his sexual preferences, that parents have direct liability to do a class action suit against that teacher individually. He's got no cover by the state school board, by the superintendent, he's liable, whether it's the ISD superintendent, the principal, the governor, the content creator, they are under fire. They've lost their cover, right?
Do you think that we've gotten where we are in part because it's such a heavy conversation? I mean, who wants to think that our society is at the most base level that we're doing this to our kids? I mean, there's an element of me, right, that it's like, man, once you start opening, pulling back that curtain a little bit, you're seeing things that you never can unsee. And it's a difficult conversation to have with others to try to get them to open their eyes too. Do you think that that's contributed to some of what we're...
Yeah, 100%. But I'll say this. God says a double-minded man will not be blessed. You cannot serve two masters. So here's what I'm telling you. The reason you see very few men in the fight against human trafficking, 99% women, mama bears go to school boards, very few dads. Why? Guilt will not let you fight this fight. Yeah, they will not. I look a man in the eyes for 45 seconds and I'll tell you whether he'll fight with me or whether he actually needs help because he's hooked on porn. The men in our country have succumbed to a pornified culture, a culture where we have objectified women to the point where women now objectify themselves. It's now a badge of honor on our college campuses. We celebrate a girl when she can make $1 million a month by selling her body through OnlyFans. We are talking about body count, and it's celebrated, and it's not frowned upon. And now we changed language, and it's not pedophiles, but it's minor attracted persons, and it's a disposition, and it's not a sickness, it's a preference, and love is love. And so culture is not helping us because culture's complicit. Because the number one demographic buying children for sex in the world, American males. So you're asking the guys who are the largest demand cycle to be your defense. How's that working out for us? No, you need repentance in this country.
Yeah.
You need a holy conviction to fall and repent and turn. And do you know how many wives cover for their husbands? Do you know how many wives today tell me they started watching porn with their husbands? You will not believe.
Right.
Because there's pressure, and it's a coercive nature, because the guy who's hooked on porn, misery loves company. That guy's not going to fight. That guy is going to say, it's not here. It's inflated. It's not enough. And it's a progressive drug. It's a violent. Porn is violent. Violent. And so I'd say the two most dangerous drugs in the world are the two drugs that we've normalized, alcohol and porn. You can buy alcohol at 7-Eleven and porn free.
On YouTube. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I just wanted to do this little brief introduction. We're going to continue to have these kinds of conversations here at the state capitol, and just wanted to kick this off. And thank you so much for coming and doing all the things you're doing. I heard you in Dallas, and I just thought, now there's a man who's willing to speak the truth. It's awfully hard to find somebody who, like, we get pitted into sides and corners, and you have to, all the truth lies over here, mm-hmm. and it lies over here, and we're in this war of words. But when I heard you get up and speak and just lay out the truth, that is a person after my heart, you know, because mm-hmm. truth, I think, sets us all free. And it doesn't matter. Yeah. Our allegiance needs to be to the truth, not to a person, not to an individual, not to a party, right?
Right.
Not to any of these mirages. But to find absolute truth is a good life well lived. So thank you so much.
Appreciate you for finding all you amazing women.
Appreciate it. Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Senator.